Rabbi Chaim Ilson, Erev Shavuos, 2023, my first year in the Rav Shir.
Hello. Welcome, everybody. We're going to start in 1 second. Shiva is here, and it's a great honor to have him with us. I asked Rabbi David to give a few words, but I just wanted to share with the Tzibur before we start. They were roommates together, that's what I hear. And so I just want to let the Tzibur know that since we started the Rav program, starting right after Pesach, until now, until this year, right now, we've had over 800 people attend the shiurim in person, live. And if I just got this new thing where you can add up the numbers. Roni told me about how you can add up, or maybe it's Mark, how you can add up the numbers of people who have viewed the shiurim online. That was another. I spent the whole time counting. It was so exciting. So it was another 700. That's 1,500 people since Pesach till now. And so I think the creme de la creme, the icing on the cake, is to have Rabbi Ilson come. And so I'm just going to say thank you to all our sponsors and all the people that made it happen. And I want to thank, there's one person in the back who has been to every shir, and I want to give him a yashar koyach, but I forgot your name. Yisrael Kashkin has come to every single shir since then. Yashar koyach, thank you for coming. There are a few others. There's also Jeffrey Wendell, who's been to almost everyone. I think you missed one, but that's okay. We won't hold it against you, but there's a knas of 500 shekel sponsorship. Okay, anyway, without further ado, I want to ask the former rabbi of PMTL and the Rav of BTYA, Rav Avishai David, to say words of introduction.
It is a great personal pleasure to be able to introduce my former roommate over 50 years ago, HaGaon Rav Chaim Ilson Shlita. In 1967, I was present, a very young man, when the Rav Zatzal installed Rabbi Walter Wurzberger in Shari Tefillah in Far Rockaway. And he said the function of a Rav is a hybrid of Chesed and Emes. A Rav should primarily broadcast Emes, La Mita Shel Torah. The Torah is Emes, Chesomo Shakadosh Baruch Hu Emes, and that should be the guiding light of a Rav. However, how should he go about meeting that Emes? And he gave examples, someone who only wants to fulfill the Daraisas, not the Rabbanans. No, unacceptable. Even would be Ger, the Gemara says in Mechores, he's not willing to accept one Divrei Seferim in Mekabel Maso. However, all that Emes should be meted out with Chesed. That should be the methodology via which a Rav should meet out Emes. Rav Chaim Ilson is really a hybrid of Emes and Chesed. What you see in front of you is mostly Emes, but his bark is worse than his bite, and there's a lot of bark. But underneath that bark is a tremendous Ava. He was zeichet to learn by three Gedolei Yisrael, who probably to a large extent, each one could say, Uman Kene B'Shevach Kli, HaGoyin Anisim Alpert Zatzal, Talmud Muvuk of Rabbi Shafainzin Zatzal. He was a Ben Bayis by HaGoyin Rabbi Yochum Gerelik Zatzal, Mamisha Ben Bayis. And of course, the Rav Zatzal, one of his major Talmidim. To be honest with you, as mentioned earlier, that by Roni, I was his roommate, but I never saw him. At nighttime, I held like the Maniyama Libri Laila El Lashina. He obviously held Libri Laila El Girsa. So he was just learning all night with his Chabusa, HaGoyin HaTzadik, Ramesha Twersky, Zechat Tzadik Livroch Hashem Yim Kondomo. They appeared sometime in the morning, around 5 or so, 5 a.m. That's generally when I got up. And they seemed to somehow make the same minyan that I did, through Nisim and Flos. He is actually someone who was Baruch Hashem Rosh Hashiva for many years. I tried to convince him that he should continue that line of work. He told me if I support him, he'll be glad to do so. He's actually someone who's very into health, and for many years he walked from his home in Har Nof all the way to the yeshiva in Me'er Sharim. I believe it's called Me'er Sharim, that area, if I'm not mistaken. I would say, for me, it would take probably 2.5 hours. He probably did it in 45 minutes, I imagine. I heard from Hagoyin Rav Abba Brandspiegel Zatzal, who just passed away recently. He told me years ago that Asal Beshik had two types of Talmidim. I don't want to say what he really said. I have to be politically correct. The Richtige and the Andere. Namely, he had those who were Talmidei Chacham Muflogim. They absorb what the Rav was all about. And then there were also philosophy kings. That's how he termed them. That's how he described them. That's also important. Unquestionably, the Rav was able to combine both of these elements, a hybrid. And it's clear that the main focus of Rav Soloveitchik was the first. And the other was, as the Rambam writes in one of his letters, Laharos ha'amim v'asorim es yofyo ki tevis marahi, just to show the beauty of Torah using the vernacular, using the currency, the matbea of the world at large. To my mind, Rav Soloveitchik saved North American Jewry. To my mind, he saved the North American rabbit. I'm only slightly biased. More or less, I'm objective in these matters. So here we have with us one of the foremost Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. G'dayla shimusha shel Torah yasim v'limuda. It's a schus and a pleasure, Yiras HaKovid, to introduce Hagoyin Rav Chaim Elsen.
Here. No, I want my water.
Want you, okay, okay, I'll get you.
That's what I brought it for.
Right here, come.
One second. Okay, one second. Just, you wanted me to speak about something else before I started?
No,
no, you told me you want to tell the story of how I got... No, no, I'm here to please you. You told me you wanted a different focus at the beginning.
You're here, that's pleasing.
Okay, Beseda, just one second. Okay, is it okay? Should I move this?
Move the bottle.
Oh, the bottle, okay, but there's no plate, okay. If I put it like this, it's not going to fall. There's a... Okay, that's... Okay, wait a second. I'll come... No, no, we say it's all okay. It's all okay. 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 I just. Okay. I just like to say one word that to have an introduction to focus on MS. And just to speak in hyperbole, I just wonder what exactly, you know, the purpose of it was. But, okay. I just before, what I wanted to focus on was my first month in the Rosh Shir, okay? And frankly, when I walked in, I was absolutely petrified. And those who knew the room that the Rav had on the fourth floor, there were a few pillars there, and I tried to sit all the way in the back next to a pillar, so maybe I can duck and not be seen. My background was very weak, and to say the least, I entered yeshiva only in my junior year in high school. And I was in a synagogue where the Rav was the talk of the town. There were young men who were talking about how they were babysitters for the Liechtenstein children, after mentioning names. And I remember Rabbi Heshi Reichman giving shurim in the shul. And but the Rabbi Hecht, Michael Hecht, was there. It was a place that was focused on the Rav. And I always had this dream of coming into the Rav Shir. And when I got there, I was absolutely petrified. But an amazing thing happened, because as the way David mentioned, that's true, I did study over by Alpert, and among learning by him the second Perek of Psochim, the third Perek of Psochim, the tenth Perek of Psochim, the fourth Perek of Brachas, the sixth Perek of Brachas, first Perek of Megillah, and among other things. But the truth is, he taught, he used to come at night, I don't know exactly how he drove and what he drove, it was that itself is a story. I basically had learned by him when I walked into the Rav Shir probably most of the first 17 Prokem and Shabbos. And lo and behold, the Rav announces that what is the syllabus for this year? The 18th Perek of Shabbos. So I said to myself, whoa, I remember Nachum Gnack and Michal Shoko said, what's going on? 18th Perek of Shabbos. And the Rav said, you know, I don't believe that any Rosh Hashiva in the last 500 years said shurim on these Prokem, and he's going to break them. So, in one hand, I came in like almost feeling like off of Ve'efer. On the other hand, I said to myself, wow, what an opportunity. In fact, you know, when I got over, you know, you have to understand, asking a question this year was something amazing. Because I was told, and I knew the guy because I think he was like, you know, Rabbi Dave and I were in one room. I think he and his roommate were in the other room. And there was a story about him, okay, that was like a year or two before I came to this year. He raised his hand to ask a question. He rehearsed the question. And what happened is, the Rav asked him, what is your name? And he wasn't prepared to say what his name was. He was prepared to, you know, to ask his question. And then the Rav saw it. He said, that is not a difficult question. What is your name? And after one or two times, the guy next to him whispered to him his ear what his name is, and he got it out. So in the context of that, I was actually petrified. But knowing most of Masechta Shabbos, thanks to me, nothing to do with me, thanks to Alpert Zecher Tzadik Levracha, I used to ask the Rav questions for all over Masechta Shabbos. So one time, the Rav decided he's going in for a, a search and destroy mission. Okay? He asked me a question. He's like this, Ilson, you think you know Masechta Shabbos? Where is there Rashi about Kleach Acham Ruv by Imaka Bepatish? Okay? The truth is, I knew the Rashi. But the way the Rav interpreted the Rashi, you know, I had no clue. I knew that it was Memela or Gromer. I knew the Rashi. He says, aha! And that was the end of it. Now, what I like to discuss is it was an amazing experience. It was such an experience that I remember after the summer, I went to this place and that place, and I was walking on Amsterdam Avenue near the library. And the Rav was walking there. And the Rav accosts me and says, Shalom Aleichem. So I said to myself, he remembers me. That's amazing. You have to understand what it was. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you like a number of pieces. Okay. I looked at my old notebook. One of the things, the sadness of a little hatzlacha that I had in this year is I made up with myself that I'm going to take copious notes every day of this year and going to spend the whole weekend, not Shabbos, not like the challenge with the cigarettes or whatever it is, the whole Thursday night, Friday morning, Motzei Shabbos, Sunday, whatever it was, to sit and diligent right over this year. And I think that was very helpful to me. I looked over my notes and I said, it's amazing what I wrote, you know, when I was a little kid. Because the truth is, I hardly know anything. And I'll tell you, when I got into YU High School, okay, I was in the Rabbi Rothkopf then. He was called Rothkopf. Now they call him Akefet. For 2 weeks, okay? He kicked me out of the shir. Someone told me that he writes about kicking me out of the shir and from Washington to Washington, you know, Geves. And I ended up in Rabbi Dulitz's class together with Rabbi David's brother Aaron. And we were sitting next to each other. And I remember a young man, I think he lives in Beit Shemesh, so I'm not even going to mention his name, okay? We were learning the first Perek of Pesachim, okay? And Rabbi Dulitz, Seichet Tzadik Levocha, he asked this young man to read the Gemara. I remember what the Gemara was about. Beis Shuris Apnei Amate. I was absolutely amazed that this young man, who also went to the same shtibel that I went to, was actually able to read the Gemara and translate it. And I said to myself, you have to understand, I left Bragg's High School of Science to come to Yeshiva High School. A friend of mine who made Aliyah later, who he's from, you know, and his father was a principal, he thought, you know, I was nuts. So what basically I said to myself is, I'm never going to be able to do that. Halvai Rebbein Lishalem, that my son should be able to read the Gemara and translate the Gemara. Okay, now, let's get down to some of the pieces that the Rav said, or some of the pieces at the end. We'll see if we have time. I'm going to tell you something the Rav told me once in a car that shed light on the Gemara in Mefanin, which I think that he broke it wide open by telling me something, but it took me, after he told it, about 20, 30 years to understand what he said. Okay. Now, I remember the Rav coming in like this. He said, in Muksa, we find there are two Isurim. We find an Isa of Tiltel, which basically is a Melacha Midrabanan. And as the Gemara says, and the Raivin makes a big deal about it, Otil Tiltel Lav Mishum Hoitza. And the Rav always used to quote Rav Kveger, the Emes is a Ritva in Erevin also. Rav Kveger asked himself, we know that a person who's Mechal Shabbos with Melacha is a Meshumet, or what the sense is called Mumo. Okay? Rav Kveger asked, what about on a Melacha of Drabona? But the point is, and that we used to stress and stress, that a melacha midrabbanan is a melacha. And he used to quote the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that the tishba is a shabbos and is an aseh and a lois aseh. It's midrabbanan, it's a melacha. And there's also the Gemara in Pesachim in the third parak that we find in Muksa. The Gemara is ready to say Muksa deraisa. The Gemara is not talking about tiltel or shvus, which was in the Gzeris of whether it's Nehemiah Mechakali or Ezra. I'm not getting involved in that. But L'cheiru, the Isa Tashmish, or it's Tashmish or Kilui, whether Rashba or not a Rashba, L'cheiru, that has nothing to do with Melacha. A person who would eat Muksa, okay, on Shabbos, you probably would not say that he violated a Melacha. So the Rav said like this, and I thought, like, it is amazing, like, you know, a few times in that first month, my mind sparkled. He said, Dovah Sheshel Matirin means something which has a heter. But let's say I could do it today and tomorrow, and there's no heter involved at all. L'chay, it's nothing to do with Dovah Sheshel Matirin. Would anyone in their right mind say that a suffix of doing melacha on Shabbos or Yontif is a dovah sheish l'matirin, because after Shabbos and Yontif is going to be mutter? So the Rav said that's ludicrous. And then the Rav said a very important yisaid. He said that the pshat in dovah sheish l'matirin and what's going on, the Gemara in Beitza and Daftali calls muksa dovah sheish l'matirin. He said like this. He said, the Bein HaShmoshes of Erev Shabbos is an Oysa. Migo des Katsoi b'Bein HaShmoshes is Katsoi l'Kul Yoyma. And then he said, Bein HaShmoshes of Mutsoi Shabbos is a Matir. And on that part of Muksa, you can say, Dovishesh to Matir. And then the Rav said, which sounded almost like whimsical prose or whimsical, you know, I don't know, philosophy. Lu Yitzur. You could imagine that there wouldn't be a Bein HaShmoshes of Motzoi Shabbos to be Matir. The Issa Muksa Vachila would extend indefinitely. And that has nothing to do with Malacha. Malacha is not the Motzoi Shabbos, it's Matir. That was the Yisrael. It sounded a little bit, you know. I said to myself, how do you digest this? And then, after Sukkot, he came back and he said he was learning with his grandson, which I said to myself, this mysterious man who he is. And at a certain point, we impacted on each other's lives in a way which is absolutely amazing. We used to learn together day and night, as Rabbi David mentioned. And he found a Baal HaMor that the reason why there's an Issa of Huksel Mitzvosei on Sukkot, and it goes throughout Sukkot, because the Bein HaShmoshes of Yom Tov Rishon is not Matir. Says, dos is dos. It's a Matir. And the Issa of Huksel Mitzvosei, you understand yourself, has nothing whatsoever to do with Tiltum. It's the Issa of Tashmish and Tashmish Shokiwa. And that's what he said. And I thought that was amazing. That's one piece. Next, he had a discussion. And he said from Father, after quoting Chayodim, the Chayodim has a suffix. What about a Arovis of Otzitz Nokov, because the climate in Europe was very difficult, and basically the Chayodim is Mesupik, whether it's Gedulei Karka, not Gedulei Karka, and there's a suffix about it. So he said from Father, but the Mushal Father was amazing, and later I heard other things that this Father said, and this and that. There's a taste of Menachos. Chitim sheyodu me'ovim. Okay? And Tosfos says that it's Nasa b'neis. Okay. And the question is, Mahu kilu l'shtelech? So, he said, Father asks, is it chitim? It's not gedulei karka. Is it chitim or not chitim? And if it's not chitim, the Gemara's question is ridiculous. So on the basis of that, he said, that which was created b'nes is the same chefsa. So he said, so the Rav said, kamachim b'noshe kamanuf. He said, Father said it on this, or the Rav applied it to this, that otzitz nokuf should be no problem. Second point. Third point. Let's get to something which is negeya, a little bit, on Shavuos, on Pesach, and Sukkot, the Minig, which is mentioned in Maseches Sofrim, which there were those that thought that it's a Tanaic source. Basically, Maseches Sofrim was written in Eretz Yisrael by the Amoraim, and it's a Pella that the Goyim, you know, maybe if you would have known that, you know, is Hakpod to say with a Brocha, because anything after Talmud Bavli, you don't say bracha. So they talk about the on Shavuos Rus and on Pesach Shir Hashirim and on Sukkos Koheles. Okay, it doesn't seem over there that it was on the Shabbos, whatever it is, whatever it was. You'll see in Maseches Sofrim and the Minig is Shabbos, whatever it is. So remember, the Rav asking the following question. Rabbeinu Shelem, don't we have a klal? Todah, v'she'eno todah, todah kailam. That that which is more frequent is first v'araya, then we, what happens on Purim? We read Kriyas HaTorah first, and then we read the Megillah. So wouldn't anyone say that when you read Megillas Rus, or Megillas Sheir HaShirim, or Koheles, the Todah v'she'eno todah kailam, we should read it after Kriyas HaTorah. So he said, what's going on? Then he said something which is absolutely brilliant. And he said it, and some of it, you know, he said it based on a Gemara in Kol Kisrei, which I recently learned about, but, and the others I found later, the other part I found later in a Baal Amor to support it. He said basically, and I don't know if he even started with this. The Yishalmi, if I'm not mistaken, no, it's only made, you know, I'm just quoting from up the top of my head. The Yishalmi in Megillah discusses the reason why you don't read the Megillah if Purim falls on Shabbos, because of Gzeirah Ksuvim. Gzeirah Ksuvim. Okay. So he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, we read Ksuvim, whatever. No. See, you know, he said like this. So he said, what's the difference between our reading Ksuvim and what's going on in the Mor Megillah? So he says, the Megillah, you have to have the opportunity to be able to read it the whole day. And if the whole day is not nitan for Kriyas Megillah, you just don't have it. There's a stira between this inyan of reading the Megillahs and the Gzeirah Ksuvim. Okay. So comes the Rav, and that's very clear. They used to have, what was Gzeirah Ksuvim for? The Gemara says in Shabbos, because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash. They want the people not to sit and read, you know, something which is exciting literature like Ksuvim, but they want them to come to the Beis HaMedrash. When was the Zman Beis HaMedrash? In the morning. That's why, and that's a rough point to that out, that the Gemara in Kol Kisrei says that in Naldor they were Pesach and they read Ksuvim after Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. Why? To show that the Gzeirus Ksuvim was off. The Gzeirus Ksuvim was only Shachris, not in the afternoon. Then the Rav said, and I was wondering if it was baseless or not, and I later found the Baal Amor to support it, that the Issa Ksuvim is ushered in with Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. So he said, if we would be follow the rule of Todah v'she'eno Todah, Todah Kedem, and read the Torah, we wouldn't have the opportunity of reading the Megillah. So therefore, we flip it in order to mekayim the minig and not to violate the gzeira of ksivis ksuvim. And that's what he said. I'm telling you, when he said it a little bit afterwards, you have to evaluate, is there gzeira ksuvim on yontif and how you'd evaluate shvus? But that's telling you, daughter, I did think about it, did not discuss it with him. Okay, that is the next point. Then, at another point, he said something which I thought was absolutely amazing. He was talking about a Mohammed in Kol HaKelim. I'm not sure how many people knew the Mohammed or didn't know the Mohammed, whatever it is. Okay. As Machlokes between the Baal Amor and the Mohammed, they're basically in Muksa, you have Ochel, which is not Muksa. You have Kalim, which there might be some Yisui Tiltu, but also not Muksa. And then you have something called a Eitzim Vavonim, which you're making for a purpose. The question is, I take my Eitzim Vavonim and I say I want to use it for purpose X. So, what? And I say it before Shabbos and I do all the different things. I must do a Maisa, not a Maisa, I'm not, you know, leave that to whoever wants to work on it, okay? But I just want to know conceptually what happens. Am I allowed to move these Eitzim Vavonim at random as any way that I'd like, the way I have to move Kalim, okay? Or there is very strict restrictions on this. And the Mohammed basically says that I can only move it for what exactly for what I was making it for. No other purpose whatsoever. So the Baal HaMor, you know, says, you know, what the heck? You know, either the Hachonah works or it doesn't work. If it works, everything's okay. Or it doesn't work, okay? But everyone agrees that it works. The Gemara says it works. So the Rav said, if you look at the Mohammes, in Kol HaKelim, he says an amazing thing. He says, now, this was like the Rav here and there throughout the whole month, like there was, you know, like, you know, opening up his arm and radiating on different Miksoyas HaTorah. You know, we talked a little about Zroim, we talked a little about Moyed, right now, we're opening up Taharos. Okay? You know, in the later years, I remember talking about Taharos, it was just, what can I say? A Mayin HaMizgaber, if, you know, they're saying it, you know, mildly. So he came, and he said like this, he said in Kalim, he used basically Rab Chaim's notation that you find in Kalim two things. You have a Tzuas HaKeli and you have a Kli Maisa. The purpose, that's Rab Chaim's Lashon, Kli Maisa, okay? So he said basically what you can do if there's no Tzuas HaKli is like a Kli Kibo. If it's only Eitzim Avonim, not Tzuas HaKli, the Chazal cannot call it a Kli. Everything which we have has to fit into categories. I remember the Rav saying very clearly, everything has to have an address, an halachic address. And what the amazing thing he was trying to show us time and time again, I'm sure Rabbi David will remember this. I remember he said this, I was just shivering. He says, boys, I want you to know there's a difference between you and me. When you have in front of you an elephant and a fly, you boys are swatting the fly. I go after the elephant. So, even here, he was trying to tell us that the elephant over here, in this Ramban, is what stress is, that a chefs of a keli has to have tzuas akli. And if you don't have tzuas akli, it can only be a head to tilto. For a very specific purpose, and not for other purposes. So I thought, you know, that's the Ramban. Okay. Now, let me just tell you something which some people would like a little more machshava, okay? And I'll tell you that, and then we'll move on to other things, please. The Gemara says in Mefanin, Gedol hachnosas olchim yoisim mikabolas pnei hashkina. That it's greater to makabal olchim than to makabel the rabbi shalom. No, chas v'shalom. It's okay. So I remember Rav Grelick Zichrono Livracha. The truth is, I used to eat shabbosim by him, and there were many shabbosim that, you know, we were talking and learning and sifros and tiseftas and who knows what. Okay, I remember him asking me, how did Avraham Avinu know the Gedola Hachnos, Gedola Hachnos, Zoch, Yosef, Paulus, Pere Ashkina? You know,
How did it happen?
Okay. So I remember Grelick told me something. I told the Rav. He seemed like he told me something else. Frankly, I don't even remember. I wasn't excited about it. But then, many years later, and I want to show you, I think, the insight to this. Many years later, I used to accompany the Rav on Tuesday night. He used to say Shir to Balabatim in Moriah. And he used to be in the car, he'd sit in the back and ask questions on the way down, on the way back, whatever. So I asked him, I said that there's a Ramban in the beginning of Vayera that who attacks the Rambam in the Vuchim, and that the Mar in the Vuhr of Avram Avinu and the whole thing with the Malachim was a Mar in the Vuhr. And, then he talks about Yaakov being Soleil, Al Yerechai, whatever it is, he asks, my high, it's only in the Vuhr. So I asked the Rav, what's going on here? What does all this mean? And he said to me, you're making a mistake. You think Nevuah is a figment of the Novi's imagination. He said to me like this, he said, you understand, and scientists understand this, that there are certain electromagnetic waves which different insects might be able to perceive, which we don't perceive. But the fact that we don't perceive it, that means that it's not real? Absolutely not. He said, Nevuah is a metaphysical reality, but it's only a metaphysical reality which the Novi himself can perceive. And that, he probably used to embellish with Yehuda Levi at the end, that the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael is raining Nevuah, but you need a Novi in order to appreciate it. So that's what he said. And I walked away a little baffled. Okay? I didn't understand what exactly. Then 20, 30 years later, I found something in Murin Levuchim, which I thought was absolutely amazing. Okay? The Rambam stresses that Unkelus Hager tries to distance Torah from what we call anthropomorphism, that any type that God doing this and God doing that and God this and God, and whatever it talks about God speaking, it has mem when we call them Hashem, but it doesn't say God speaking. And you don't find the sense of smell, touch and taste by the Rabbi Lishon. That which is completely physical, you won't find. And even in the cases of Shmir and Re'iyah or Re'ach, is the Unkelus always tries to pad it. Okay? And then he talks about when it says God went down, Vayered, okay? So he says, it always says something else. She says, isn't it odd that in the Chaloim of Yaakov Avinu, Unkelus said that God came down? It's against the whole principle of the Rambam. So the Rambam answers and says, you have to understand, there was a pasuk which I never had any clue what it was talking about. There are two different chefs of Nevuah. There's a chefs of Nevuah of Chaloim, as in the chefs of Nevuah of Mare. And the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, in Chelek Beis, Perek Mem Hei, when he talks about the nine levels of Nevuah, he talks about Ruach Hashem, which is a separate category. And then he talks about Ruach HaKodesh. And then he has a few levels of Nevuah in Chaloyim. And then he has a few levels of Nevuah in Mareh. Because Mareh and Chaloyim HaCholok B'etzem Yisrael Dina. Comes the Rambam and says that Chaloyim is not a reality. It's only a Chaloyim. But there's a content Nevuah in it. So saying in a Chaloyim that the Rabbeinu Shalom is Yorad is no problem. But he would never do that in Mareh. And I think the Rav's remarks were when he was telling me that Nevuah is reality, he was talking about Mareh, because that's exactly what the Rambam was talking about. So it means then that the whole sequence of what we saw with Avram Avinu was actually a Mareh Nevuah, as the Rambam says, and Avraham Avinu is running because that's what Nevuah said that he should be doing, and he did it. So it's not that Avraham Avinu decided the Gedol Achnos is Ochem Yosef ben Eshchino, or does state the Mareh Nevuah? We see, since there was a Mareh Nevuah, and the Mareh Nevuah is a metaphysical reality, so we can derive from that, since the Torah cans it as a Mareh Nevuah, that we can understand that Gedol Achnos is Ochem Yosef Mekabolas ben Eshchino. Now, just one thing, other things. So this basically is an interpretation of the Gemara that I learned that first month, but based on a concept which I didn't understand what he was saying, and then I think I finally got it. Let me just tell you something. You know, I was going to talk about other things, but I remember him saying once, he said that the Zayde Rab Chaim and the Ol Sameach was sitting together, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was looking out a window. And the Rav said that the training in family was, you have to always think and learning. So the Rav said, and he says, Rav Chaim said, Rav Moshe, with the Ol Sameach there, Moshe, was trachstu? What are you thinking about? So he was on the spot. You know what he said? He said, he wants to know, what's the din of a Kohen who's 12 years old, who is an androgynous, according to the Shitas HaRaivid in the Hilchos Shofar, who is a Chatzi Zocher and a Chatzi Nekeva? Okay, this is what he was thinking about. A Chatzi Zocher and a Chatzi Nekeva, who is Metame himself. Okay, so he said, Rab Chaim said, Ramei Simcha, nu? Rameh Simcha, what sagst du? What do you say? So Rameh Simcha said, Mamadashach is Potter. Because if it's a girl, she's not Machoyev. And if it's a boy, then she's only 12, right? And if it's a boy, it's only 12 and it's Potter. So Mamadashach is Potter. Then Rab Chaim said, Moshe, what sagst du? So Moshe said, I think he's Chayev for Metameh es HaKayim. What is, because metame kohen cotton. If a gadol comes and takes a kohen cotton and puts in the beis hakfaris, he's chayiv malchus. He says, this girl, 12-year-old girl, who's chatzi zoch, chatzi nekeva, she has a chefsa of zichre kun of kohen, and she's taking it, and metame is hakohen. So Rab Chaim said, no. I hold, you don't have to come on to that. I hold that this girl is chayiv from Metames Atzma. So that sounded only. Before, I'm going to tell you a little story, okay, in between, just before I finish this, explain what Rab Chaim said. I remember after I put out the with Yitzchak Lichtenstein, the Igris HaGrid, okay? And, well, no, probably it was after, no, it was the Chidusha Grama Levi. It was the first one that we worked on. I got a phone call from Baal Lichtenstein, Zech Tzadak Levocha, giving me a grace Yashikayach. And he said the following, that Rab Chaim, whatever he said, you can't imagine that you would machachen to. Brisker Rav is Mishnasa Kavanoki. If you work and work and work and do your homework, you can get to it. Rav Moshe, his brother, was something like that. And it's like the Zayd Rab Chaim and something like that. Okay. So comes Rab Chaim. And Rab Chaim says the following. Rab Chaim says, it's not the pshat that a woman is potter from Tumas Kohuna. It's not a poor of Nakvas. She doesn't have within her Ches of Zachvas. If you could have imagined a woman to have inside of her a Ches of Zichrei Kuna, she's Mechayev from a Tames Hatzma. And that's what Chaim said. This, I thought, you know, would give you an idea of the greatness of the family. Now, I don't know, you want me to say another story, or I should get the... Okay. I will tell you one thing, okay? I will tell you my last meeting with the Rav, okay? And just to tell you, it was 10 days before his Petira, okay? And I'll tell you what transpired. Okay. I was working with Yitzhak Lichtenstein, I think Chaim Soloveitchik was also working with us on this, on the Chidusha Gram Vagrid. Okay. And Rab Chaim thought that Ilson lost his marbles completely, because I decided that I was not going to America on that Ador without the Chidusha Gram Vagrid printed in my hand. And you know, what's the rush? What's the rush? Then I had a vichuach with Rab Chaim about what the title page should be, because he said his father dictated the title page should be Chidusha the Chabura, Chidusha Teresh and Emma Chabura, again, Ramesha Halevi Salvechik, in Benoy Vitalmido, Yosef Dov. So I said, how's the Chaim? If the Rav is publishing it and he writes a Benoy, Yosef Dov, B'Sei the Gomor, well, we're publishing it. How come we can't write that? She said, you know, how do you write it? And he agreed with me, and we publish it like that. So I come in to New York with the Sforum, a few of them, whatever it is, and I wanted to visit the Rav and give him a Sefer. In fact, I just want to tell you how bad the matzav was. And I asked about Soloveitchik, should I go? I shouldn't go. He says, he told me not to go. Okay? What happened was I had an appointment. I want you to know, Min HaShemayim, Baruch Hashem, did the Gevir cancel his appointment? I said, Yitzi, let's do it. We drove up to Boston for 4 hours. Okay? 4 hours. We come in to, I think it was... One second, it was Somerset. Somerset was the last thing. I'm just in a little different Addington was all set. What? No, Quarry Road. That's it, Quarry Road. It was Quarry Road. Quarry Road. The Rav was sitting in a chair. There were three pictures behind him. The Zayda, the elder Zayda, and his father. Okay? The Rav was sitting there. Eyes completely closed. And there was a male nurse there. His name was Marcus. Okay, so I knew, you know, I used to come here and there. Says, Marcus, for the rabbi, is it a good day, a bad day? You know, what's going on? She said, it's a bad day. So I said, Yitzi, we drove 4 hours for this. I'm going to make it happen. What I did was, I whispered in the Rav's ear different discussions that he had with Rav Chaim Oizer, different pieces that he might have talked to Lazy Hudel about, different discussions that he might have with Rab Chaim and that he had with father or whatever. I just one piece after the next piece after the next piece. And I was whispering in his ear, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And then, you know, I tell you, see, if he didn't give me this introduction, even with all the hyperbole, you'd say that I'm a liar. I saw the Rav's eyes slowly open completely. And then I saw him smile. And he actually was talking. But he was talking in Yiddish and sitting and have his, what are those things called? The dentures. They took out his dentures, whatever it was. I couldn't understand what he was saying. But I said to myself, Ilson, now's your chance. What I did was, I took the Sefer Hagram Vagrid, open to the title page, exactly where the Rav had, except with that emendation, which we decided was okay. And I kneeled down to hold the Sefer. Now, since the Rav had cataract issues all the years, and, you know, I was aware somewhat of his focus, okay? I remember there was one time at Shir in Baba Basra. Were you in Baba Basra? No. In Baba Basra, it got so bad that the Rav said to pull all the blinds down because the light, the glare was not good for him, and he still couldn't read it. And he left the blinds down. He says, Ilson, read the Gemara. Okay, we say that. So I kneeled down and held it, watching his eyes focusing on the Shabbat. And I saw it very clearly focused on it. Very clearly focused on it. And this lasted for about 2 minutes. After the 2 minutes, I saw that the focus ended. So I said, it's over. I left the Sefer there. And that was my last meeting with the Rav. I get back to Eretz Yisrael. I remember starting after that, the next thing was the Igros HaGrid. And I had with me the manuscript of the Igros HaGrid. I told my late wife, she can take a bus. I'm walking and just reading it. And I remember working on a manuscript between a discussion between Rav Aaron, which originally in the Sefer was Aaron, but we decided it wasn't Bechavadik to God. Maybe he was 10, 11, whatever it was. And the Rav and Rav Moshe back and forth about the Mitzri Hikes Yehudi and what the Chiyuv is and what's going on. And I just was mesmerized. So when I heard the Rav was Nifta, I was just, you know, he was alive, and I called up for Nicham Avelim, Rab Chaim. And Chaim says to me, do you know that when Papa saw the Sefer, he was smiling? So I said, Chaim, please, you weren't there. There were three people in the room. Marcus, I'm not thinking you spoke to him. And there was Yitzi and myself. Okay, and I was probably closest to the Rav. He says, who told you this? He said, Yitzi. So I said to myself that by holding the Sefer up and looking at the Rav's focus, what happened was that the Sefer blocked my view of that last smile. Yehi Zichrei Baruch. Hey, you want the questions? You want the what? I want two questions, whatever you want.
We're opening the floor. Does anyone have any questions about the Rav this time in this year?
I reserve the right not to answer.
Okay. I have just one question for you. Your yeshiva was in Meir Shearim, and obviously you're a Talmud of the Rav. Where do you see yourself in terms of your hashkafa, whether it be in terms of...
Okay. I'm ready to answer that question. I just want to tell you one thing. In the 15 years of yeshiva, okay, our yeshiva had four valedictorians in yeshiva college, and I challenge another yeshiva to be able to say that. Okay? And I think that basically, and I think my knowledge of science, and I was into math and whatever it is, and I have never, astronomy, you know? I went with the Talmud, his father was a yeshiva, and yeshiva, we spent the post-high school of Yeshiva University High School, we were at Hayden Planetarium and doing a fellowship there. I've always remained in my interest in health, I think I'm on par with a lot of people who, and I'm in contact with people who really know all over the world. And I never, people felt, and the truth is that was probably one of the downfall of yeshiva, you know, Chaim is going to make him black, Chaim is going to do this, Chaim is and that. I never, and I hope I never will, okay? I never spoke against college, and the government never did either. I just wanted to give boys the opportunity to fulfill their potential in learning, and I want you to know many of them actually did. Okay, does that answer your question? Yes?
Did the Rav learn Achronim? Did he teach Achronim in
Shir? I can't tell you, okay? I can tell you, no. Did he? You know, so there are two questions. The first question, did he learn Achronim? I can't say. Did he have the patience for it? I doubt it, okay? Did he teach it in Shir? You know, there might have been excess that he used to know, that he used to talk about. He used to, you know, his focus was to have an insight and to understand things. You know, you'll find in Igris Agid that he found a Hagor on the Tui Evin. Maybe it's Rav Craig had the Hagor, and he happened to have that in Berlin. But that wasn't the focus. He said once something, which I think will really answer your question. He says, you boys, I don't understand you. There's the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tesis, the Rashba, Ramban, and Ksais. You boys are learning basically the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tesis. What did they get to Ksais? So why are you wasting your time? Go straight to the Ksais. My purpose is to teach you the Gemara, to read the Gemara, Rashi, and Tesis properly, and to see the truth and what the words mean and how they are. Okay? Does that answer your question? You wanted to say some more?
No, I heard when the Rav came in the 1930s, he was very into the Minchas
Chinuch. He basically said that the Zayd Rav Chaim, who's called Minchas Chinuch, the discussion with father, made the Minchas, put the Minchas Chinuch in the thing, but the Minchas Chinuch was really a portal to understand Kol HaTorah Kula. It wasn't like understanding a Knech and a Ksais here and a here. He was trying to understand the words and what the Minchas Chinuch actually meant, in what it actually shed light on the Gemara and the Rambam.
I cut the next topic because I thought we should end. Okay. Thank you so much, Rav Ilson. We're now going to Daven Maariv. And again, Yashar Koach to everyone that attended. And thank you, Rabbi David and Rav Ilson. Rav Ilson did a yeoman's job coming tonight. He wrote his notes in the car because he came from the hospital. And Baruch Hashem, he's well, and God willing, he should have continued health and all good things. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is our last year. If I could have everybody's attention. It's our last year.
Of this program.
My close friend, Ryan Thaw, put this program together. Hours and hours of learning Torah. 7-8 programs, Rosh Yeshiva. It was tremendous. Brian, you got a tremendous Sakhar Satov. Kol HaKavod to what you did. It was a tremendous thing. Kol HaKavod. Yashar Koach.